want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Live Long and Prosper. It is from the series, The Things That Jesus Taught. This message is based on command number 26, honor your parents. We pray that this is a blessing to your life.
What we're really talking about tonight, though, is we're talking about living in honor. And that starts, how many of you know, when you're just a little bitty rugrat, you learn how to live in honor. And Matthew chapter 15, verse 4 is where Jesus brought it up. And he's talking, says, for God said, honor your father and mother. Anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. Now, where he got that from was Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where it says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And he also quoted from Exodus 21, 17, where it says, anyone who curses his father and mother, you know, he talks about that. And he goes on to say, shall be put to death. Now, that sounds pretty harsh, right? That definitely wouldn't fly in our culture. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, Moses further expounds, and it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. What that literally says in the Hebrew is that you may live long and prosper. So there was a time in American life when we thought we could trust the major institutions, but you know, those times are long gone. Now we have people who are trying to bring that back. We do have some Christians who have stepped up into that government mountain and are trying to make a difference. But by and large, how many of you would agree that not many people trust the government, right? And so that has been lost. That honor has been lost. At one time, people absolutely had great confidence in our national leaders. But slowly and surely, politicians have thumbed their noses at Christianity and the Bible and at God and what is right and what is moral. And many of them are really all about just lining their pockets in some way. And so there was a time when even in the church, we thought we could trust at least church leaders. But then I know when I was growing up, it just seemed like every year there was a new preacher that had fallen, a new preacher caught in adultery, a new, you know, new pastor left his wife and ran off with the piano player or whatever. Just always something going on. So there's a major distrust even for spiritual leadership in our country as well. And the problem is we've had way too many church leaders who have abandoned their moral post. And so we've seen the public confidence in religious institution as a whole steadily decline since the 1960s. That generation of people born between 1946 and 1964, we call them the baby boomers, has become more distrustful and more suspicious of institutions of any kind than any previous generation in American history. And this has led to an overall decline in honor and respect in our culture altogether. And this overall decline in honor and respect has led to a culture that thrives on put-downs and sarcasm, and a culture where families act way too much like The Simpsons, right? It's, you know, it's a cartoon, but it's real, right? And it seems that the most significant decline in respect has occurred in the family. Now, let me just tell you that right at the beginning, the first unit of authority and cohesiveness was the family. The first place of authority in government on the earth was the family. And so if I'm the devil, I'm going to do everything I can to destroy the family. I'm going to do everything I can to convince young people that marriage is not worth waiting for. And don't even bother to get married because, you know, that's just trouble. And so, and I'm going to do everything I can to try to convince people that alternative lifestyles like the homosexual lifestyle is okay with God. Because if I'm the devil, I don't want life. And how many of you know in a homosexual lifestyle, you can't produce life? Okay. So spiritually, we see the picture that's happening in our society. So we literally live in not a culture of honor, but really a culture of death, where abortion is perfectly okay. You know, I like to watch old westerns when we watch TV, and probably drives Micah crazy because I'll sit and watch The Virginian or something like that, you know. But I noticed something on those channels. Now listen, I am an animal lover. I'm a dog lover. Some animals I like to pet, some I like to eat, okay? So my favorite animals are in gravy, okay? Just to let you know. Okay. But I'm not cruel to animals. I'm not that kind of person, okay? I think we should treat all of God's creation the right way. But animals are not on the same level as human beings, okay? Now, listen, don't get offended when I say they're not on the same level. No animal, no matter how beautiful they are, and there are beautiful animals, none of them were created in God's image, okay? And you and I are. But it just kind of trips me out when I'm watching these old movies on these channels, and I don't know why. I guess it's that particular age group. But you will see commercial for St. Jude's, for instance, where these little kids have cancer and all, and they're raising money. And it's how many of you know that's a good cause? I'll go ahead and put a plug in for them right now. St. Jude's is a good cause because families who are suffering, their children have cancer, they don't have to pay. They do everything they can to take care of them. It's a good cause, okay? And it breaks my heart when I see it and I hear the little kids giving their little testimonies, and it really touches me in the deepest part of my emotions. And, you know, and they'll say something along the lines of, for just $19 a month, you can make a difference. And it's beautiful, and I understand that. But then right behind that, following that, will be another commercial. And they get all these dogs with sad faces, and the music's playing, and they're talking in the same tone as the St. Jude's commercial and asking for the same thing for $19 a month. Now, hear me. I'm not saying that it's not a good cause to try to take care of animals. Everybody understand that? But what I'm saying is in our culture, we have put animals on the same level as our children, as our babies. Okay, and that is not the way God designed it. In fact, I know people, I'm sure of it, they wouldn't give a dime to St. Jude's, but they would give money to save the animals. Everybody understand that? We live in a culture of save the whales and kill the babies. All right? There's something twisted about that. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't do both responsibly, but we have to be very careful that we understand that as much as we love our animals, as much as we love our dogs and our cats and whatever kind of pets we have, and thank God for them, He gave them to us to enjoy. But you can never put them on the same level as a person. So again, we live in a society where things have just really gotten twisted up. And so today we're going to look at what Jesus talked about is really the fifth commandment. It's the commandment about honoring our parents, because honor starts and is learned early on at home. And if parents don't teach their children to honor when they're little bitty, then they are going to have fits when they're older. And what gets me is sometimes parents think it's so funny and so hilarious when that child is being disrespectful. Or maybe that child uses a cuss word. Or maybe that child slaps somebody. And they think it's so funny. But when they're 17 and they act in that way, it ain't funny. Amen? So if you don't teach them when they're little, then you're going to miss an opportunity. And you're going to cause them. In fact, the Bible says that if you don't discipline your child, you are a willing party to their death. So what does it mean to honor our parents? And are there any limits to parental honor? And so why does God think parental honor is so important? Now, I'm going to have to kind of hurry up through this because I do have a lot to say tonight. But number one is this, the first question, what does it mean to honor our parents? Now, you might remember that the Ten Commandments divide into three groupings. Now, most people divide them into two groupings, but here we teach them in three groupings. The first three commandments deal with our love for God specifically, giving us specific, tangible ways for us as followers of Jesus Christ to express our love for God. That's what the first three of the Ten Commandments do. But then there's a fourth commandment, and that's the commandment about keeping the Sabbath. That commandment it kind of stands on its own because it bridges the others together, because it deals both with our relationship with God and with man. It's the place of the cross. It's living the cross-centered life of humility and faithfulness. And part of that is keeping that Sabbath, keeping it holy like he said to. Now, tonight, it's not about the Sabbath. We're not going to get into why it's on Sunday and instead of Saturday and all that kind of stuff. People want to argue and fight over that stuff all the time. That's not the point. The point is that we honor it. And today, in this day, we do it on Sunday. Jesus rose on a Sunday. The early church met on Sunday, so on and so forth. So there was a shift that happened. It went from celebrating the last day of the week to celebrating the first day of the week, because now we have a job to do and it's not working under the curse any longer. So we don't work all week and toil so that we can finally rest on Sunday. No, no. On the first day, we get energized so we can go out and conquer the world and expand the kingdom. Amen. It's a whole different mindset. All right. So enough on that. But the last six commandments deal with our love for people, giving specific tangible ways for us as followers of Jesus to show God's love for others. So we got the three that honor God, the one that honors both, and then the last six that honors people. And the fifth commandment, specifically the very first commandment that starts dealing exclusively with dealing with people and honoring and loving people, it starts with the parents. Okay, notice that. It's the parent-child relationship. Now, in the context of this commandment, like the other nine commandments, the Lord here is not talking to kids. He's talking to adults. As adults, we tend to think all the commandments, well, those are for us adults, but that one about honor the parents, that's about the kids. But it's not just about the kids. The main emphasis is on the parents understanding that you better teach that kid to honor, because if you don't teach them to honor, things are not going to go well with them. They're not going to live long and prosper. All right? So it's in the lap of the parents. So obviously it applies to children of any age, but the context suggests that adult children of parents are the ones who are in view here. Now, in the context of the nation of Israel, the way God's special covenant relationship was with Israel, all that was supposed to be passed down to the children, and they were supposed to be taught to honor God and the law, and they were supposed to be taught the commandments. And so that was supposed to happen through the family from generation to generation. Now, it was the responsibility of the parents to teach their kids about who God was and what it meant to follow God, and that primarily fell, according to the scripture, by God. He gave that primary responsibility to the father. So we live in a culture now where there are so many homes who don't even have a father in it, that these commandments and this understanding of honor don't even exist anymore. There was a time when you never heard about a church getting broke into. You never heard about violence happening in the church, all that kind of. Today, listen, they couldn't care less if it was a church. They couldn't care less if you were a man or a woman. There's no respect. There's no honor. And as far as authority goes, there's no honor for authority whatsoever. Okay. Authority is something to be despised. So if the parents fail in teaching their children this, then the children were not going to honor Israel's special covenant relationship with God, and life in the promised land would fall apart. And it's the same way with us. Now, this word kabod, or it's kabod, is actually the way you say it. It's the Hebrew word translated honor, and it means to make heavy or weighty. Okay. The word picture here is weighing down someone with esteem or respect. It means like just heaping that respect and that honor on them. Okay? In the New Testament, the word honor that's used, and the word that Jesus actually used when he was quoting the Old Testament here, is a word tamao, and it means to value or to revere. I want you to notice that this command applies equally both to the dad and the mom. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, the command's restated, but the mom is named first. I believe that's in the scripture on purpose. Because God wanted you to understand that you're supposed to honor both of them, dad and mom. So it's either dad and mom or mom and dad. And that is in every area of authority. You know, even in the church, I tell people all the time, the way we function, we're not like many other churches where you got the pastor and then you got the little pastor's wife who sits around waiting for her commands. And hopefully she can play a piano so she can do anything around the church. That ain't how it is here. How many of you know that? Okay. There's Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Cindy. And she will refer to me as the authority. But ultimately, there's only one pastor in this church, and it is Dwayne and Cindy. Everybody understand that? There's no separation. When I married her, she married me, we became one. When I answered my calling, she answered her calling. Okay. We're one. So she has to be respected just like I'm respected, and I have to be respected just like she's respected. Everybody understand that? When you do that the right way, things go better. And people who don't do that miss out on some incredible blessings in their life. I'll tell you that. There are things that women can do that men can't. There's understanding that women have that men don't have. Right? There's gifts and talents and abilities and things that women have and can do that men can't. Amen? And if you don't believe me, men, try having a baby.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. And anything you see in the physical is real in the spiritual. All right? Those ladies know a little bit of something about raising kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. So Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3 is the command. It's stated that the mom is put first. And it says, each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord, your God. Now, he just wanted to make sure you weren't going to forget about the Sabbath. Okay, so he just went on ahead and threw that in there. Now, also realize that a parent isn't necessarily the person who gives you your DNA. Everybody understand that? Okay, though, you listen, you still honor that person. You may not even know them. Listen, I've met lots of folks over the years that they don't even know who their father is. Some don't even know who their mother is as far as biologically, who gave them their DNA. And you can be tempted to get bitter about that. But listen, you still honor them because God says to, and then things will go well with you. But you allow your life and your heart to get filled with bitterness, things are not going to go well with you. Okay? So we understand that a father is the one who is there for you, who fathers you as you grow up, and your mother's whoever mothers you. And we believe in adoption. Listen, we believe in it. We encourage it. A few years ago, Tim, our son Tim, because he's the only one that was brave enough to do it, because they started with me, and I said, absolutely not. But he rappelled down the side of the second tallest building in Baton Rouge, all for to bring attention to the need for adoptions to happen in Louisiana. Okay, and that was a Louisiana Family Forum that set that up. This fat boy wasn't getting up on top of that roof and rappelling down. I can just tell you that right now. So I encouraged and held the camera, all right? But this command to honor the people who parent us is coupled with a promise that those who will do so will live long and prosper. And this is a principle that when each generation honors their parents, what happens is it creates and maintains a social climate that enhances the possibility of a good long life for people. Because as long as children learn to honor, not just their parents, but honor authority in general, because the parents, remember, are the first authority. So when authority is honored, then society doesn't break down and collapse. Now look, it doesn't take very long. All you have to do is turn on the news and find out that society has kind of collapsed. Right? And there's a lot of reasons for that. Okay? But society has collapsed. I want to tell you that with all of the reasons that are a part of that, the number one reason is this. This was not taught over generations. So the original context of the fifth commandment seems to be addressed to the adults and their relationship with their aging parents, as well as teaching their children about it. So the New Testament quotes the same commandment and applies it a little bit differently. It says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then Ephesians 6:1 through 3, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, or that you may prosper, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. So here, children are addressed specifically so that we have a new context for this fifth commandment. So we can see here that it wasn't just about the adults. It was about the children were supposed to take a hold of this and run with it too, and teach it to their children. So although in Deuteronomy that fifth commandment was addressed to adults, here in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses it to address it to children. And they're told to obey their parents. Now, this word obey carries the idea of both an action and an attitude. On one hand, this word focuses on the action of obedience that children are to do, that which their parents tell them to do. Now, how many of you parents love it when you tell your child to do something and they do it? All right. But how many of you love it even more when you tell your child to do something and they do it with the right attitude? Right? Because sometimes even when they do it, you still want to snatch them up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because they got a bad attitude. Right? So to obey here isn't just to do what your parents say, but it's to listen to what they say attentively with the right attitude. Now, when we tell a child to do something, usually, especially if they don't understand, you know, your reasoning, what's the first question they ask? It's one word. Why? They want to know why. So Paul anticipated that and gives several reasons why kids need to obey their parents. So one reason comes from the phrase in the Lord. So obedience to parents isn't just because the parents are bigger than the kids. And parents need to remember this too. It's not about just you using your power over that child. Okay, that's how abuse happens. Okay. So it's not just about that, but it's because obedience to parents is part of that child's devotion to Jesus Christ. And the reason the parent should want the child to be obedient isn't because the child got on their last nerve, although they have the ability to do that sometime, but because they want their child to live long and prosper. Amen? And so this is one thing that the entire ancient world agreed on, whether it was the Romans or the Jewish people or the Christians. The social consensus of their day agreed that it was fitting and proper for children to obey their parents. Why? Because even naturally, there is a good result that comes from that. So Paul finally says that it's to the child's best interest to obey the mom and dad. Now, there's a promise connected to obeying that fifth commandment, as we've said. So we see from both instances of this commandment that it applies both to adults and to children. So what does it mean to honor our parents? Well, we honor our parents by respecting the role that God has given them in our lives. So we respect it. Now, we may not agree with everything that they said and did over the years, or even are saying and doing now. But if it don't go against God, then you just need to submit and obey. Okay. Now, we need to understand that every time we see our belly button, for some folks, it's easier done than others. Some of you are going to have to look in the mirror. Okay. I have this problem. Okay. But how many of you know every time you see that belly button, it shows you and declares to you the fact that you didn't just turn up one day. When you came here, you were connected to somebody. Amen. You didn't get here by yourself. So there's somebody you need to honor. And your mama didn't do this by herself either. Okay. So somebody gave us the gift of life. Someone had to take care of us when we were little, when we couldn't take care of ourselves. I don't know what they did back in the Bible days, but in our culture, somebody had to change your diaper. Somebody had to feed you and carry you around and burp you and make sure you got your naps. And they had to do that many times while you were protesting and didn't want to do it. Right? But our parents' role in our lives is a changing role. And so how we honor our parents depends on how old we are. Now, as children, we honor our parents by obeying their instruction because they're teaching us and they're the first authority in our life. And the primary role of a parent's not to make their kids happy. Did you hear me? People got that all messed up. They think their whole purpose in life is they got to make their kids happy. Oh, I just want my kids to have everything I never had. Well, you give them everything that you never had and they don't have to work for it and they never have consequences, you're going to raise a criminal. Your job is to equip them to be successful. to have a meaningful life and ultimately a life that glorifies God and expands the kingdom of God. Okay, that's the parent's job. So this equipping has spiritual, social, economic, and educational dimensions. Now, a parent is a teacher providing instruction about what it means to live life, how to succeed in school, how to be a friend. How many of you know one of the first things that parents should be teaching their child is how to share? Because how many of you know being selfish comes natural, right? All of that is the responsibility of parents. And, you know, of course, there's much more than that. But unfortunately, many parents today don't do this. They indulge their child's selfishness. And really, when it comes down to it, our job as a parent is to teach our children how to die to their selfish desires. But instead, we feed their selfish desires many times. Why? Because that's how we like to live. We want to feed our selfish desires. Will Willimon and Stanley Hallroos say this: many parents, lacking any sense of authority, even in their own lives, raise their children to make up their own minds, which means our children are robbed of minds worth making up. And parents tell me, well, you know, when my kids get older, I'm going to just let them decide. You know, I don't want to push anything on them. Well, the Bible says to train them up in the way they should go, right? So you leave them to the world. Somebody's going to teach them. Somebody's going to show them what they think is right and wrong. And I want to tell you, it's probably not going to line up with the Bible. And they're not setting your child up to live long and prosper. So no one's more important in a child's life in this area than a mom and a dad. And now a child's temptation, you know, as you found out growing up and as you know if you're a parent, the temptation is to rebel against instruction because it's in our heart. Folly is in our heart. We're born with it. We're born with this rebellion. And so it doesn't take very long before your child starts telling you no, before they start rebelling, start trying to do what they want to do. And you can have some interesting moments, right? I can remember, you know, when our kids were growing up, you know, I can remember times that were a little bit embarrassing, you know. There's a whole bunch of them. There's lots of those, right? You have those stories yourself. So anyway, a child's temptation is to rebel against instruction. So for a child, which goes from birth until they're really supporting themselves, the way we honor the role that God has given to our parents is by obeying their instruction. Now listen, hear me clearly. If you ain't living on your own, if you ain't paying your way, I don't care if you're 90 years old and your parents are 110. You do what they tell you to do in that house. Everybody understand that? Now, people are going, they don't want to listen to that. I'm an adult. I'm 18 years old. I'm going to tell you right now, according to God, the way you honor them parents is you do what they tell you to do in that house. All right? That's their rules. Now, when you're out on your own and you're doing your own thing, that changes. You still honor them, but it changes a little bit. So when we hit the later teen years, our temptation is not so much to rebel against our parents as to just dismiss them. We think we're smarter than them. We start to think, you know, they don't know a whole lot. They're kind of naive. You know, they're out of touch. They old. You know, they don't understand. They're out of touch with the real world. Mark Twain says that when he was a teenager, he was amazed at how unintelligent his father was. But by the time he turned 21, he started getting so amazed at how much his father had learned in such a short time. You know, just as soon as he had to get out and go to work and start earning his own living. So as we launch into adulthood, we honor our parents by carefully weighing their advice. Okay. So it doesn't mean it's no longer a you have to do what I say kind of thing if you're on your own and you're supporting yourself. But you do honor them by giving ear to them, okay? At least weighing their advice. You listen attentively to what they're saying, even if you end up deciding otherwise, right? So some of the key areas here are picking a college to go to, maybe a career direction, choosing a spouse. Listen, that's important. I'll never forget, my dad had never said anything about any girl that I might have been interested in, so on. And believe me, I was the third wheel most of the time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The third wheel? I was the guy that went along with the two that were on a date. Okay. Y'all understand? Okay. I was everybody's best friend. All right. But I'll never forget, after me and Cindy kind of started talking and hanging around as friends, and I was praying, I was saying, Lord, I knew the Lord had told me this is the one I picked for you. And I said, Lord, I really need confirmation. I don't want to do anything the wrong way. And so on. And I'll never forget, I was riding with my daddy, and that just out of nowhere, he said, hey, you know that Cindy girl you hanging with? I said, yes, sir. He said, you know, it wouldn't bother me at all if she became my daughter-in-law. I was like, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So every time we're tempted to dismiss our parents, again, you need to take a long, hard look at your belly button. All right? Get you one of them mechanic mirrors and hold that thing out there. And it's, you know. Finally, as mature adults, we honor our parents by caring for their needs. Now hear me, because there's some important things here. There's a biblical principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, that children shouldn't have to save up. Listen, the way it should happen is children shouldn't have to save up money to take care of their parents. That's according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. But parents are supposed to do that for their children. The Bible tells us that we should leave an inheritance for our children. Okay? But there's a balance to that. The principle simply says that wise parents should be good stewards of their resources so they don't have to financially burden their kids when they get older. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, there are situations and things that may not allow that to happen. So we're not talking about that this is just cut and dry. Well, you messed up, you blew it, so, you know, too bad for you. Okay? But that is a biblical principle. The parents are supposed to honor God with their life and their finances and leave an inheritance for their kids. But that principle is balanced by this one, that part of our honor for our parents is to care for them and help them as they age and can't do it for themselves. Now, if they can do it for themselves, still you honor them, but if a person is still able to take care of themselves, you're not bound to do that, okay? But there will come a time, they live to be old enough, they're probably not going to be able to take care of themselves. And the honorable thing to do as a child is to get in there and help them. Amen. Everybody understand that? And I tell you, it disgusts me when I hear people talking about their parents and about how, you know, I just wish they'd gone and die so I can get my stuff, you know. And listen, I've been at funeral homes where before the funeral was over, the kids were fighting over the stuff. Okay. I remember reading about a son who was evicting his 94-year-old mom from his rent house. His 94-year-old mom. So how a person cares for their parents, it needs to depend a lot on their circumstances. But the principle remains to care for our parents' needs when they can't do it, right? And I have met some very honorable people who many times for years had to put their life on hold to help and take care of their parents. And I want to tell you, that's a very honorable thing to do. And people who will do that are going to be richly rewarded, I can guarantee you. So here's another question. Number two, are there limits to parental honor? Now, I'd imagine at this point, maybe some of you are thinking, well, Pastor Dwayne, you don't know my parents. You don't understand how hurtful they were. You don't know how lucky I was just to escape alive. Listen, I know that's a reality. That's a reality for people. And this brings up the question as to whether there are limits to parental honor. Is this command absolute, or are there other principles and commands in the Bible that temper it? Well, I think there's at least two limits to parental honor in the Bible, and I want to share those two with you real quickly. The first limit comes from Genesis 2:24, which says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." Now, we usually understand this verse to mean that when a guy gets married, he moves out of his parents' house, he sets up his own household. But in that culture, in that day when this was written, the interpretation isn't what we think, because it is true that the wife moves out of her parents' home, but back then the husband usually continued to live under his parents' roof, or at least on their property, along with his wife and children that they had. So he had to honor them because it was their property and would eventually become a part of his inheritance for he and his family. But it didn't mean that he was under their authority like a little kid is. Okay. So very rarely did a man actually move out of his mom and dad's house. So something else is being referred to here, and our clue comes from the word translated leave. The Hebrew word, it's very strong, and it's often translated as forsake or leave behind. And it's used more than 100 times in the Bible for breaking a special covenant kind of relationship. So it ends that covenant relationship. So instead of describing a man moving out of the house, this leaving really describes a man ending the covenant relationship he had with his mom and dad. Now he has a new covenant relationship. And that word be united means to stick to or to cling to or to cleave to. So this word's often used to describe establishing and maintaining a special covenant relationship with someone. So what it's really talking about is now your first love and your affection and intimacy move from mom and dad to the wife now. Okay. And that cleaving together results in that man and woman becoming one flesh. And so this section is teaching that when a person gets married, he's ending one covenant relationship and establishing another covenant relationship. It'd be like changing citizenship from one country to another. And although you might still have a relationship with that previous country, your loyalty is now pledged to your new country. So marriage radically redefines a person's relationship with his or her mom or dad. When a couple gets married, when they walk into the church, think about it, their parents are their immediate family. And if somebody were to ask them, who's your immediate family, you would point out your parents. Okay? But once you're married, that shifts, and now your spouse becomes your immediate family, and your parents become extended family. So the other limitation to parental authority is found when Peter and John tell the religious leaders of their day in Acts 4:19, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight for us to obey you rather than God. Because remember, the parents were the first authority set up. So they represent any and every authority. So this section tells us that there are times when a legitimate authority figure in our life might command us to do something that would be displeasing to God. And so there are times when a parent's will could come into contact with God's will. And for the follower of Jesus Christ, obedience to God's will must take priority. Jesus had already given him the command and said, now go and preach the gospel. But then you have the authority of the day, the civic authority, and the religious leaders of that day telling them, don't go around preaching this name of Jesus anymore. And they said, look, we got to follow God before we follow you. And there's no dishonor in that. Okay, so it's hard for many of us to imagine, but some parents will tell their kids to do evil things. And in that case, that child is under no obligation to obey that command. Listen, I know parents who tell their children to steal. I've known parents who every time they would purposely go to a public restroom, kids could steal the toilet paper out of the restroom. Okay, everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay. If you have a parent that tells you to steal, well, you don't do it, right? If an authority tells you to do something, you don't do it. Maybe that parent commands that child to be sexually intimate with somebody, or commands a child to, you know, smoke dope with them or something, or lie to a police officer or whatever. If it goes against the principles of God, then that child's under no obligation to obey before God. So, and neither are we under the obligation to obey authorities or try to have us do things that go against God. Listen, you work for an employer and that employer tries to get you to lie, cheat, or steal. You're under no obligation by God to do that. And the best thing you can do is not get involved with that, because I want to tell you, I don't have to use the phrase they use, but it runs downhill. Right? You're going to end up with the blame. So we must only honor our parents in ways that also honor God. In the Christian's life, there's a ladder of priorities, and allegiance to Jesus Christ is the top rung of the ladder. If we're married, then our commitment to our spouse and then to our children are the second and third rung of the ladder. And then comes our commitment to our mom and dad. So this is what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 10:37, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You know, it doesn't mean that you don't love them, but they have to be in the right place. C.S. Lewis said this. This is one of the greatest Christian minds and authors that I've ever read. But he said, when we learn to love God above all our human relationships, we learn to love those we care about the most even better. But when we put our love for those we care about before our love for God, we'll eventually find ourselves no longer loving those we care about the most. So when first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased. I think there's great wisdom in that statement. For the follower of Jesus Christ, there is no higher love and loyalty than God. And so this is why the first three commandments come first. And the fourth one, of course, like I said, it has to do with God and men. But Laura Schlesinger said this. Maybe you've heard of her, but she wrote a book on the Ten Commandments. And she suggests that when a parent is violent or sexually aggressive or emotionally destructive, or children are justified to put some distance between themselves and their parents. And that mainly means by cutting off the ability for them to continue to hurt, but it doesn't mean cutting off the relationship, if that makes sense. But when a parent continually is bringing destruction into your life, then it does justify some distance. Now, some of you came out of religious systems where when you came to a church like this, now you were a holy roly. And you think you better than everybody. And some folks have experienced persecution at the hands of even their own parents, okay, over their desire to live for God and to be a little radical for Jesus, right? And so Dr. Laura gives this interesting suggestion that in those cases, honoring your parents means honoring what your parents should have been. So hear what I'm saying. It means you still honor them, even though they're not acting right and they're not doing right. What God expects for us is to honor the office of the parent, to honor what they should have been, because that hadn't changed. Amen? So, all right. So why is parental honor important? That's question number three. So in our messed up culture, parental honor seems outdated, right? But according to the Bible, the parent-child relationship is the most basic foundation for society. So from parent-child relationship, we learn how to relate to people. I've seen children grow up and the parents were just so messed up that you knew. Unless God intervenes and sends somebody else into this child's life, that child is going to be messed up. When they become an adult, you can almost know they're going to spend most of their life in prison if they even live because of the way the parent is raising that child. Now, God can intervene, and thank God he does sometimes. Amen. And if people give him an opportunity, he's looking for it. But Martin Luther said this, out of the authority of parents, all other authority is derived and developed. So this is why both Jews and Christians down through the centuries have recognized that the fifth commandment is really a principle about our attitude toward authority in general. The Westminster Catechism puts it this way. By father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors, especially those over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth, or in other words, the business world or society. So the fifth command is using parental authority as a paradigm for how we honor all authority in our lives. And it uses parental authority because the parent-child relationship is so basic. So again, parents, the best thing you can do to help your child succeed in the workplace, in school, wherever they are, is you teach them to honor authority. And you teach them to honor authority by teaching them to honor you because you're the first authority. And you need to not have a problem with letting them know, I am your father, I am your mother, and you will respect me. Yeah. You don't give them an option. I can't tell you how many times I've seen parents. 1, 2, 3. Okay, I really mean it now this time. 1. Yeah. Well, first of all, even if you react on 3, you teaching them that I can still act up on 1 and 2. Right. You need to teach them the first time. You meant it the first time, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, my mama never counted to 3. I didn't even know she could count to 3. It was, I better do it the first time, okay? And I've told y'all the story. I respected my mama when I was 17 years old, sitting in the back with the teenagers in church, and we got to cutting up and laughing, and my mama always sat right in the front. And my mama turned around and never had to say a word. All she had to do was look back there and do this. And this big old 17-year-old had to get up out of his seat in front of everybody and go walk up to the front of the church and sit with my mama. And knew I better not say anything. Mama, you embarrassed me. Well, you embarrassed me. So I'm glad I had a good mama, because I am who I am today, in large part to that, because of that. So the fifth command is using parental authority to teach us how to honor all authority. Now, Romans chapter 13, verse 7 tells us about how we should respond to authority in our lives. Now, he says this: give everyone what you owe. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, pay revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Okay, so give people what you owe them. All right, and obviously, we're told without a question, we owe our parents honor. So followers of Jesus Christ owe respect and honor to those in various authority relationships to them. Those include government, church leaders, civil servants, teachers, employers, and so on and so forth. So why is it important to honor our parents? Well, parental honor lays the foundation for our attitude toward all authority figures. You find a rebellious parent, you're going to find a rebellious child, and they're going to take it way further than you did. Okay? So if we don't learn the fifth commandment, then we're going to have no foundation for the rest of the authority relationships in our lives. And from the fifth commandment, we learn how to relate, as I said, to our boss, to our teachers, to our government, and so on and so forth. Parents, your children in school, if the first thing you do when your child gets in trouble is you want to go run to the school and bawl that teacher out, shame on you. Okay. Now, I know that there can be some bad teachers, and I'm just like there could be bad policemen, just like there could be bad authority figures. Okay. I know that, but you better teach that child. What they did may not have been right, but you're going to honor that office. Everybody understand that? Okay. So according to the Bible, in our minds, we think that an authority figure has to earn the right to be honored or respected. And if we find an authority figure who's imperfect or makes a mistake, then we think we're off the hook. But according to the Bible, that's not true. We are still bound to honor all authority in our lives, even when that authority is imperfect, because God said in His Word that He raised them up. And listen, you may not like the president we have now. You may not like the president we had last time, or the time before that, or the time before that, or you may not like the governor, or you may not like the mayor, or whatever. And you may disagree with them, but there is a right way to do it. But you better remember, by God, you better respect and honor that office. God is going to hold you accountable for that. I want you to know it's very hard for me to respect any man who thinks it's okay to murder babies. Okay, it's hard for me to respect that man, but I still have to respect their office. And God's going to judge me for that. Although there are definite limits to how much honor we give to authority figures in our lives, we're not off the hook if they're imperfect. So without authority relationships, our society would fall apart. You know, there was a big push here last year. I remember hearing this woman in an interview, and they were literally, their goal for their movement was to do away with the police. How many of you heard something like that? To just do away with them. And I'm thinking, you have no clue what you're saying. If you want to know what that's like, go to one of these countries out there where they're chopping people's heads off. Okay. Then you'll know what that's like. Society would just fall to pieces. So the way we relate to, look, whether it be umpires, can I get an amen? Some of the worst behavior I have ever witnessed, ever in my life, by church folk, has been at Little League baseball games. Can I get a witness on that one? I am amazed how people can act. Look, I'm talking peewee. They don't even know whether to run to first base or third base or the pitcher's mound. And the parents want to be fist fighting in the bleachers. Unbelievable. So the way we relate to those people, umpires, pastors, police officers, the president, teachers, bosses, is a natural outgrowth of the way we relate to our parents. If you're a parent, how do you get your kids to live by the fifth commandment? If you hadn't noticed, just quoting the fifth commandment to your kids is not going to do it. It doesn't result in instant respect, but it is a start. So I suggest that the way our kids learn about honoring us, first and foremost, is by watching how we respond to authority figures in our own lives. They hear you talking bad about the police, or bad about the teachers, or bad about the pastors, although I know y'all could never come up with anything like that, but I have heard that has happened before. You know, there are people who like to have, they call it roast preacher, on Sunday at lunchtime. So I suggest that the way our kids learn about honoring, again, is by how they see us honoring authority. The primary way we teach our kids about honor is how we respond to our own parents. Now, if we're constantly bad-mouthing our parents in front of our kids, then that's modeling to them that how they should relate to us. Now, again, it doesn't mean, hear me, it doesn't mean that you have to agree with them. And if they're wrong, there's nothing wrong with letting your child know they're wrong. Okay, this shouldn't be happening. But there's a difference in that and bad-mouthing. Everybody understand? So we also model proper respect for authority and how we act toward umpires and referees in sports. And we're constantly questioning an umpire's call and muttering derogatory statements under our breath, or even being asked to leave the ball field.
Get you out on the street. I'll catch you later. You're out of here.
I've seen it. I'm telling you. Silly stuff. And then after the game, they both trying to get in their truck real quick so they can get out of there. So they don't really have to follow up on it. And then they can tell everybody, yeah, they just lucky they didn't meet up with me after the game. But people who badmouth their pastor in front of their kids are teaching their kids how to respond to authority in their lives. They're teaching them that calling and that spiritual office really doesn't mean anything. We also model proper respect for authority in the way we respond to the police. When I started volunteering as a police chaplain, I was absolutely amazed at how disrespectful some people were to police officers. If we're rude to the police officer when he or she pulls us over, our kids are going to see that. And that lays a foundation for their response. And I want to tell you, listen, I don't say this jokingly. It could cost them their life. I've seen this happen on more than one occasion, just riding. Brother Daniel could tell you. But I've seen it on more than one occasion, riding with one of the officers and pull somebody over that just like, they just look like the normal, you know, just normal mom. And start F this and F and that, and I'm going to have your job. Because they caught you doing 96 and had the nerve to give you a ticket because you were tired, wanted to get home. This is real. I'm not exaggerating here, okay? People act that way. I couldn't even believe it. Couldn't believe it. So here's another one. We model proper respect for authority in how we respond to our state and our national leaders as well. If our kids hear us doing nothing but saying derogatory statements about whether it's a governor or a president or a mayor or a city council person or whoever it is, no matter how much or he or she deserves it based on what they're doing, that affects the way our kids respond to authority. So we have to make sure we teach them this is wrong. This goes against the Bible, but we're not going to disrespect that office. And you're going to refer to them as president so-and-so, governor so-and-so, mayor so-and-so. Look, when a police officer pulls you over, do yourself a favor. Refer to them as officer. Help yourself out. Here's another one. The way you model respect for authority for teachers. That's how your children are going to learn. And if they can't respect their teacher, you know what? They're going to be stupid. Okay, we'll move on that one. We model proper respect on how we respond to our bosses. If you're always complaining about your boss, then you know what? When your kid gets old enough and they go to work, they're going to always have problems on the job. And then they're moving back for you to take care of them. If you come home always griping about your boss, you're setting that child up for failure in the workplace. So whenever we respond to an authority figure in front of our children, we're teaching them how to live by the fifth commandment when we respond the right way. So let me wrap it up. The bottom line of this fifth commandment, of this teaching of Jesus, character of Christ, is actually God has established relationships of authority in our lives And we express our devotion to God by honoring the people over us. And maybe you feel like it's too late for you. Maybe you say, man, I wish I'd have known this many years ago. Maybe you think too much time's gone by. You failed in an area too many times. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not too late. And hear me. Again, it don't matter if you're 110 and your child is 90. You can still start speaking into their life. All right? So all you people out there over 100, it's not too late for you. All right? Maybe you feel some regret. Maybe you feel you think back to how you raised your kids and you feel some regret. Here's the other thing I want to caution you about. Don't let the devil now take this and condemn you and stomp you down and beat you up and make you feel like a failure. It's never too late to be a good influence. Okay? Now, it would have been much better if you'd have done it right from the beginning. It'd have been much better if all of us would have done it right from the beginning. And our parents would have done it right from the beginning. And their parents all the way back. But that's not the case. So at some point, it has to start. And grandparents, if you're a grandparent, you certainly have an opportunity to now start with the grandchildren and help them. Amen? So it's not too late. It's never too late to start living by God's plan for authority in our lives. And when we make that start, no matter how late in life that is, we begin to experience the promise of the fifth commandment. And I know that that's God's desire for all of us. Amen?
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.